Good morning, brothers, sisters, and friends. For all of you that, anyone that doesn't know I'm from Arkansas, you're going to know quickly that I am. my wife, Sister Gail, and I have certainly been looking forward to attending meeting here this morning, and we bring you greetings from the Old Paths Ecclesia up in Arkansas. I usually always, when I go anywhere, it's usually down in Arkansas, but I get to say up in Arkansas this morning. Oh, let's turn back to 2 Peter chapter 1 at verse 12. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore, and this is Peter speaking, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Look at that next phrase. Though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. So during my words this morning, I want you to think about this verse 12, and all of you have read these verses many times. You've had classes on these verses. And without a doubt, the Orlando Ecclesia is an established ecclesia. So, why am I up here? I want you to think about why would I be up here presenting this to you? You already know these things. Just keep that in your mind while we go through this. Think about why that's being done. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. We're talking about knowledge in those four verses. Knowledge. To know the truth concerning Yahweh. We're talking about correct information. It's important that we get the correct information regarding Yahweh and His 7,000-year plan. 6,000 years, it's almost coming to a close. And the kingdom era, the 1,000 years of the kingdom is before us. To know the truth concerning Yahweh, His Son, and the coming kingdom in such measure. Think about a measuring cup. In such measure that it influences our thinking, what we think about, but not only thinking, but our actions, what we say and do. What we say and do. Our way of life. And I'm sure all of you firmly believe that by learning and getting this knowledge in our minds, that it can change our very way of life. Verses 1 through 4 describes the informative power of the gospel. This informative power develops the faith that brings baptism and a successful spiritual life in Christ. Let's keep our place there in 1 Peter, but let's turn back to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, and I'm sure many of you know this. It's a memory verse. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. In this gospel, this informative knowledge, the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Okay, back to 2 Peter, chapter 1. We're going to consider verses 5 through 7. I appreciate Brother Jenkins reading these verses this morning. Verses 5 through 7. Having revealed the privileged state of the elect, Peter now appeals for their continuing progress, their constant continuing progress in the Christ life. And anyone that's got a job at a successful company, you know, they're always talking about, you know, progress, doing better. Peter here is appealing to us about constant, continuing progress in the Christ life. L-I-F-E. The Christ life. And let's look at that. And besides this, giving all diligence, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith. We have studied the gospel, the Bible, and we have learned those things concerning Yahweh, Jesus, and the kingdom. And we have decided that we're going to come under the provisions of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We're baptized. And he says there, add to your faith virtue. And he's talking there about the characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are, we need to remember this, they are opposite of the characteristics of most of the people out in the world. Okay, to these virtuous characteristics which we are to be developing, he says, he adds there knowledge. He adds knowledge again. And we've already spent all this time learning the first principles so that we can become a brother or sister in Christ. And he says, add to this knowledge, more knowledge. We're supposed to grow this constant progress. And we're not going to make progress, unless we add to that knowledge that we already have. Then look at this next word, temperance. Now, if you talk to someone in the world about temperance, they're going to say someone that's easygoing, easy to get along with. Temperance. temperance is self-control. And it's more than just self-control. It's controlling this flesh, this sin nature, which we still possess after baptism, but we have to control it. And we have to do more than control it. We have to control it so we can do the will of God. Defending the truth against error. Defending the truth against error. And we have to do that during our probationary time period. Defending the truth against error. And we have to do that in a Christ-like manner. That's what temperance is. It's not being just an easy fella that's or a kind, pleasant sister that wouldn't say anything to cause you to upset you at all. It's more than that. It's controlling this nature of ours, this flesh, so that we can do the will of the Creator. And let's remember that, because I'll probably say this again. Flesh is a powerful, powerful thing. Okay, after temperance, we've got the word patience. Patience, endurance, continuance, even under trial. Being patient through the good times and the hard times. And I think all of us know that our lives are not, it's not going to be continual, pleasant happiness, unfortunately. Not. That's not the case because, well, Yahweh knows that that doesn't develop character. Continual good times does not develop character. Okay. Patience, godliness. Godliness. An essential desire to please God and actually seek to do it. This desire and the actual doing of God's will should increase. And these things are all connected. They're all connected. Like, we're not going to be able to do this if we don't continue growing in what? Knowledge. It says, add to your faith virtue. This faith that we developed when we were studying the first principles. We add virtue to it, and then he says add knowledge. Okay? This godliness is not going to develop like it should unless we continue to add to that knowledge. Add to that knowledge. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, that's filio, and to brotherly kindness, charity, and that's agape. And look at verse 8. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in what? The knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter is exhorting us that where the virtues stemming from knowledge and faith abound, they will not permit us to be idle toward Yahweh, His Son, and the kingdom, but rather, and this is really important right here, by constantly looking into the reflective mirror. Think about when you get up in the morning, you go in the bathroom and you look in that mirror. in the reflective mirror of the Word, we will be drawn thereby to imitate the virtues of Christ more and more perfectly as we gaze into it. And that gets back to this more knowledge. You've got to add to those first principles that you learned that caused you to desire to become a brother or sister in Christ. You've got to add. You've got to keep adding to it. Looking into the reflective mirror of the Word. The mirror of the Word. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Now, are we talking about the alien in this verse 9? No, we're not. We're talking about a brother or a sister. But he that lacketh these things. So, you know, if we take on the name of Christ, and then that's it. We stop studying. We stop serving Yahweh. This right here is what can happen. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. If we do not continue to study God's Word, then we are going to regress. After learning all the first principles and having faith in them, if we stop studying, we're going to regress. Being influenced, and this is what happens. We become influenced, and not only, what's worse than being influenced is to be overcome by the viewpoint of the flesh. And don't ever forget, this sin nature, this flesh is very powerful. That's why we've got to develop virtue, the character of Christ, to overcome it. And we can only overcome it through Christ. And what happens if we don't do this? We will slip back into the ways of the world, the moral and spiritual corruption that surrounds us on every side. And what is so bad about the times that we live in? It is continually put before us by movies, television, and something else, our phone. You know exactly all the terrible things that's going on, and all you got to do is click your phone, and there it is. You can read it, and you can even see pictures of it, the news. And I think that's something we need to think about. Okay, verse 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. And go back to verse 5. In verse 5, Peter says, giving all diligence. Diligence. To make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Make your calling and election sure through the good times and the hard times, which I've already stated. How do we do this? Do we pray daily? You know, if you spend much time in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to notice something about the Lord Jesus. He was always going off by himself to pray. Do we pray daily? Do we start our day with a prayer? Do we end it with a prayer? And what about in between? We should pray anytime we need to. Do we take advantage of that glorious benefit? Now, I'm into taking advantage or putting those advantages to good use for me, that I can be in the kingdom. I mean, that's what we're striving for. We should pray anytime we need to. Do we study God's Word daily? If we don't, start the day. Be diligent. Persevere. That's just plain common sense. It's business. That's what your business people do. Be diligent. Persevere. Keep working. Do we serve Yahweh daily? Strive to accomplish this. Do we serve Yahweh daily? Strive to accomplish this. Brothers and sisters, we're the servants of the Creator, Yahweh. If we're not serving Him, we need to start, because that's one of the secrets. Serving Yahweh will sure help you in not serving the world. Serve Yahweh. Pray, study, serve. Pray, study, serve. Serve Yahweh, serve Jesus, serve our brothers and sisters of like precious faith. We do those three things, I guarantee you there'll be a difference in your life and mine if we do those three things. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Peter.
Oh, not good. I should have put that in my pocket, but I didn't.
Should have put that in my pocket, and I did not do it. Sorry about that. But anybody that was getting a little bit drowsy, that kind of woke you up, didn't it? Oh, 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Now, does being sober mean that I can't be pleasant or happy about the gospel? You know, I grew up in a family that were Baptists. We went to church every Sunday. The Glass family was always there. Every Sunday, and I sit in a row with my older cousin Dale, then it was me, then it was Robert Earl and Paul, two younger cousins, my sister Tina, and beside her was her, well, before her it was her friend, whose name was also Tina. She was a tall, freckle-faced young lady that was a great basketball player like my sister. I believe my sister was a better athlete than I was. Then my grandmother, who always sat by Tina. Everybody knew that my grandmother, she loved Oliver. grandchildren, but Tina most of all. Then it was her younger son, and then another grandson on the far end. And our parents was in the row behind us. And my grandfather always sat in the back. And I always had a problem when the preachers talk about the heavens and the earth being destroyed, because I really enjoy being on this earth. I think it's a wonderful, beautiful place. And I'm not going to tell you how much I really liked this earth, but I really did. And it used to just upset me so when they would talk about the destruction of the earth. And when it was a very happy thing to me when I was presented some material from Christadelphians, and I learned that's about the earth not being destroyed. And that has been it's been a thing of happiness for me. And it's just something that makes me happy. But getting back to that 13th verse, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober. Okay, because I'm pleasant and I'm happy does not mean that I'm not serious about this word. And that's what he's talking about there, this word sober. I'm serious about the word, as we all should be. And this is very important. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. Now, if that's not a wonderful thought, and it should make us happy, because there is the opportunity, what Brother Sid was talking about in Sunday school, of receiving eternal life when Jesus Christ returns, and hopefully after at judgment, he will extend that to all of us, hopefully. Okay. Let's continue to Acts chapter 14. And last night, Brother Sid was talking about you were just about to finish Acts. And he was going to be talking about the few verses at the end of chapter 13, and I said, well, I sure hope he doesn't get into 14, but let's turn to Acts 14. I'll find it in a minute. I've got so many papers stuck in my Bible. Acts 14. We're going to start at verse 1. And this is Paul and Barnabas. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews, stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully, and look at that next phrase there, and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, and this is important here, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, this is important, the gods, plural, are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities," going back to verse 15, "the gods are come down." Paul and Barnabas and the Gentiles that had learned the truth, they believed in the one true God. We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past, and this is some good reasoning here on Paul's part, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. Now, let's look at verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and what? Having stoned Paul, you might want to put a check there, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead, that he had been stoned to death. They thought Paul had been stoned to death. Verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came unto the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had, what did they do? When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, what did they do? They returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. And look at verse 22. And do you remember what Brother Jenkins said the title to my exhortation this morning was? And I asked each of you to reread verse 12 in that 2 Peter chapter 1. Confirming and exhorting. Do you see those two words in that verse 22? Confirming and exhorting. And the King James has the word souls there. You know, souls has a lot of meanings. It can mean a living, breathing man or woman. There's a living soul. It can mean a man or a woman that's not alive anymore, a dead soul. It can be, sometimes it's even referred to as an animal as a soul. It can mean our mind, and it can mean, a soul can also mean principles. Confirming, and the other translations, if you go look at other translations, a lot of them just leave this part out. They will change the words from confirming to strengthening, and they will change the word exhorting to encouraging. They would say strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to continue in the faith. Well, I prefer the word confirm because it means to make sure. And that's what Peter and Paul, not Peter, but Paul and Barnabas, they're doing in this verse 24. They're making sure those disciples are going to remain faithful. Confirming, it says, the souls of the disciples. Confirming the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And Paul and Barnabas certainly went through some tribulation there. But let's think about this. We must continue to confirm the things we believe. Let's turn back to 2 Peter, that first chapter, verse 12. Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 12. And this is extremely important. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. And brothers and sisters and friends, we hear these things. If you come to a Christadelphian meeting, you hear these things over and over and over. And that is a good, wonderful, godly thing. Okay, I'm fixing to wrap this up. We must continue to confirm the things we believe, exhorting each other by word and deed, so that our community of believers will remain That's why this is done over and over and over. And you think back how long this ecclesia has been here, and how over and over again these glorious principles have been continually presented to this community. And that's why it is so important. And why is it so important? Because, brothers and sisters, it works. It works. And there's some young people sitting in here right now, and there's some the younger than young people. There's some little ones here. And we got to remember that that's why Yahweh set it up this way, and it works. Thank you. You better put that in your pocket. I've got it for a couple of times.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Ernie, for that exhortation. That word character is a powerful word. We got a lot of examples in the scriptures about character. We will continue with the singing. We'll now enter into our memorial hymn. With the singing of hymn 157. Wherever, Lord, thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat, the mercy seat. Where they see thee, they thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Hymn number 157. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments therein. Let's turn to Matthew, chapter 27. starting with verse 23. Matthew 27, starting with verse 23. And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather atonement was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him. They put him on a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, and they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. As they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou hast destroyed the temple, and buildest it in 3 days. Save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and he will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to drink. The rest said, "Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the spirit. With that, we will now turn to the account. First Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23. "For I received of the Lord that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do you, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We call him Brother Daniel. Give thanksgiving for the bread.
Scriptures, proofs given thereby. You see in this emblem of bread given perfect self-control, perfect manifestation of thy will, thy righteousness, might be the perfect sacrifice. Pray that we will be strengthened by this service. Know that the word is sure, the promise is made sure by the sacrifice that your Son offered. Pray that you will forgive us when we fall short. Pick us up again. Encourage us by the light of thy word to continue down that straight and narrow path. So, grace and truth, one day we may be found perfectly acceptable unto thee. Offer that day. Your Son will once again physically return, physically be manifested, and we may see Him enter into perfect fellowship with Him and thus with thee. We pray all this through His name. Lamb slain from the foundation of the order and our perfect example, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Can we call on Brother Rick to give thanksgiving for the wine?
Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we again approach under Thy throne of grace at this service, the memorial service this morning, to praise Thy name, to thank Thee for the multitude of blessings that flow from Thy hand each and every day, and above all, for the priceless gift of Thy Son, which we now remember at this time. And in this emblem before us of the wine, we see a very fit representation of Thy law, which states that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Thy Son well knew this, and He knew that He had to lead a life of perfect obedience, even unto the very laying down of His life and the shedding of His blood, that He might bring those covenants of promise into full force, and so secure His eternal salvation and present us with that same opportunity. So, Father, we again thank Thee and praise Thee, and we pray that we would be allowed to continue this privilege until Thy Son returns, which we pray will indeed be very near, and we know from the signs about us that His return is indeed imminent. We ask that Thou would keep our feet upon that straight and narrow path, that Thou would forgive us of our many sins and shortcomings, and if it be according to Thy abundant mercy, allow us to serve Thee in that wonderful kingdom. We ask all these things, only if it be Thy will, through His name, Thy Son, and our Mediator, and soon to be King. Amen.